Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, the 2nd of December, Pope Francis, during his general audience, appeals for prayers for Nigeria and remembers four missionary martyrs in El Salvador. The United Nations says that Ethiopia will allow aid into the country's Tigray region. And the world observes the International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. In the Vatican, I'm Lydia O'Kane. The 2nd of December marks the anniversary of the death of four American missionary women in El Salvador, brutally murdered as they offered humanitarian aid to a country struck by civil war. At the end of his general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis prayed for the four martyrs, using them as an example of true missionary disciples. Francesca Marlo has more.
It was the 2nd of December 1980, 10 months after the start of the civil war in El Salvador, and 8 since the murder of Salvadoran Archbishop, now Saint Oscar Romero, when four American women were brutally murdered. The four women missionaries offering humanitarian aid to the country and neighboring countries were seen as a threat to the right-wing government and accused by the regime of fomenting political opposition. They were sisters Eta Ford and Maura Clark from New York, sister Dorothy Kazel from Cleveland, and Jean Donovan, a lay missionary who was engaged to be married, also from Cleveland. All four were raped and murdered by 5 members of the El Salvadorian National Guard. Pope Francis turned his thoughts to these four martyrs at the end of his general audience on Wednesday, the anniversary of their death.
Oggi è il 40° anniversario della morte di 4 missionari del Nord America.
He said today is the 40th anniversary of the death of 4 missionaries killed in El Salvador. On the 2nd of December 1980, they were kidnapped, raped and killed by a group of paramilitary. They were offering their services during the civil war and they were bringing food and medicine to those who had to flee, especially to the families that were the poorest. These women lived their faith with great generosity. They are an example for all of us to become faithful missionary disciples. They were just 4 of the more than 8,000 people who were killed in that first year of civil war alone, a war that went on for 12 years and that left over 75,000 people dead. The 5 guardsmen stopped the 4 women's vehicle after they left the airport, where 2 of the women were landing after attending a conference in Managua, Nicaragua. They were taken to a relatively isolated spot where they were beaten, raped and murdered by the soldiers. The next day, on the 3rd of December, the 4 bodies were found in a ditch, and peasants who lived nearby were ordered to bury them in a mass grave. They informed their parish priest, and the news eventually reached Oscar Romero's successor, Arturo Rivera y Damas, and the United States ambassador to El Salvador, Robert White. The women are remembered each year on the anniversary of their death. Human rights activists and the families of the victims never ceased fighting for justice. 5 National Guardsmen were convicted of their murders, and after a 16-year-long battle, the head of the National Guards, who had since emigrated to the U.S. state of Florida, was finally deported back to El Salvador. I am Francesca Merlo.
During the general audience, Pope Francis appealed for prayers for Nigeria, where a group of terrorists killed over 100 farm labourers in the country's northeast. I want to assure my prayers for Nigeria, he said, where blood has unfortunately been spilled once more in a terrorist attack. The United Nations says that Ethiopia will allow aid into the country's Tigray region. Nathan Morley reports.
Over the last few weeks, thousands of people have died and more than 40,000 refugees have fled to neighbouring Sudan. According to the United Nations, an assessment mission for aid deliveries is currently underway, but there's been no confirmation from the Ethiopian government in Addis Ababa. However, news agencies are reporting that the UN will have unimpeded access to deliver aid to the government-held areas of Tigray. Reports suggest that medical supplies and food are in short supply in the region, which is home to millions of people. Over the weekend, military operations in the Tigray region were completed and ceased, with the country's army chief saying that the government forces completely controlled the regional capital, Mekele. For weeks, the Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, had vowed the military would bring an end to the fighting in the region and remove its leadership, the Tigray People's Liberation Army, or TPLF, which his government regarded as being illegal. The TPLF dominated Ethiopia's military and political life for decades before Mr. Abe took office in 2018 and pushed through major reforms. Just last year, Mr. Abe dissolved the ruling coalition, which was made up of several ethnically based regional parties, and merged them into a single national party, which the TPLF refused to join. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
The United Nations is pushing for new climate action with two reports and a major speech by Secretary-General Antonio Guterres describing the woeful state of the planet. The UN is ramping up its efforts for a December 12th climate summit in France on the fifth anniversary of the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement. In a speech entitled State of the Planet, the UN chief says that humanity is waging war on nature.
Let's face facts. The state of our planet is broken. Humanity is waging war on nature. This is suicidal. Nature always strikes back and is doing so with gathering force and fury. Biodiversity is collapsing, deserts are spreading, oceans are choking with plastic waste. In 30 years, there will be more plastic in the ocean than fish. The central objective of the United Nations for 2021 is to build a truly global coalition for carbon neutrality. Every country, city, financial institution and company should adopt plans for transitions to net zero emissions by 2050 and take decisive action now to put themselves on the right path, which means cutting global emissions by 45% by 2030 compared with 2010 levels.
Afghan government and Taliban representatives said on Wednesday they'd reached a preliminary deal to press on with peace talks, their first written agreement in 19 years of war. The agreement lays out the way forward for further discussion, but is considered a breakthrough because it will allow negotiators to move on to more substantive issues, including talks on a ceasefire. The 2nd of December, the world is observing the International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. It is a day set aside to raise awareness and to enforce global efforts to combating the scourge of modern slavery. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Every year on the 2nd of December, the International Day for the Abolition of Slavery shines the spotlight on the atrocities of modern slavery that still exist in the world. The focus of this day is on eradicating forms of slavery, including situations of forced labor, sexual exploitation, child labor, forced marriages, human trafficking, and the forced recruitment of children for use in armed conflict. According to the International Labor Organization, more than 40 million people worldwide are victims of different forms of modern slavery. In addition, more than 150 million children are subject to child labor, a figure that represents one in every 10 children around the world. Commemorating the World Day, the UN draws attention to contemporary forms of forced labor, which exist alongside other traditional forms. The international body highlights the situation of people who have been trafficked for economic exploitation of any kind in the world economy. The UN also draws attention to child labor as a modern form of slavery. This involves children used for economic exploitation, especially in situations when work deprives them of their childhood or their right to education. In addition, trafficking in persons, the recruitment, transportation, reception, harboring, or transfer of persons by force or coercion for exploitation includes prostitution, forced labor, slavery, and servitude. The UN underlines that the consent of the person trafficked for exploitation is irrelevant, and if the trafficked person is a child, it is a crime even without the use of force. The Holy Father Pope Francis has been a constant voice calling for the eradication of modern forms of slavery. To commemorate this International Day, the Pope, in a message on his Twitter account, noted that today, as in the past, slavery is rooted in a notion of the human person that allows people to be treated like an object and it tramples their dignity. Slavery makes us undignified because it takes away everyone's dignity, the Pope said. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Pope Francis' encyclical letter, Fratelli Tutti, provided the inspiration and the themes for reflection as we deal with the coronavirus pandemic at a seminar on Wednesday organised by the Pontifical Lateran University. As Linda Bordomne reports, the aim of the seminar was to look beyond the pandemic currently afflicting the world to a future that is more peaceful and just.
Fratelli Tutti not only emphasises that in our common home we all live as one family, It also proposes concrete actions to restore the world and overcome the ills generated by the pandemic crisis, which has now become a health, economic, social, and political one. The encyclical, in fact, proposes fraternity and social friendship as the ways to build a better, more just, and peaceful world with the commitment of all, people and institutions. That's why one key participant at the webinar on Wednesday was Monsignor Fernando Chica Arellano, the permanent observer of the Holy See to three important UN agencies for development: the Food and Agriculture Organization, the International Fund for Agriculture Development, and the World Food Programme. Moderated by the coordinator of the Rome Forum of Catholic-inspired NGOs, the online discussion included interventions by Cardinal Ayuso, president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, by the FAO's chief economist, and by Sister Alessandra Smedelli, a professor of economics at the Pontifical Faculty of Educational Sciences. Introducing the panel discussion was Cardinal Angelo De Donatis, the Cardinal Vicar of the Basilica of St. John Lateran and the Grand Chancellor of the Pontifical Lateran University, organizing the webinar. He focused his intervention on the Pope's invitation to go beyond this crisis with discernment, hope and courage, as brothers and sisters, all in the same boat. At this time, he said, we are all fragile and disorientated and called to row together. No one, he said, can be saved alone. If we do not realize this, he reiterated, we risk falling into the deception of seeing what does not exist while dreams are built together, and we must not be afraid to do just that. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And finally, returning to the general audience, and Pope Francis continued his catechesis on prayer this Wednesday. Blessing, he said, is an essential dimension of prayer. We respond to the God who blesses us by blessing him in return, which, he said, is done through prayer of praise, adoration and thanksgiving. Robin Gomes has more.
Pope Francis began his general audience explaining the meaning of the word bless, which in Italian is benedire, meaning speaking well. And the Pope said, God spoke well of everything he created, including man and woman, whom he saw good and beautiful. Soon this beauty will be altered, and the human being will become a degenerate creature capable of spreading evil and death in the world. However, the Pope said, nothing will ever take away the original imprint of the goodness that God placed within us, namely the capacity to bless and to be blessed.
Ma nulla potrà mai cancellare la prima impronta di Dio, un'impronta di bontà.
The hope of the world, the Pope said, lies entirely in God's blessing. He continues to desire our good. God is patient till the end, hoping that the sinner's heart will eventually open and change. This, the Pope said, is what happened to Zacchaeus, who was regarded as a public sinner by others. But Jesus spotted a glimmer of goodness in him and changed his heart and life. Jesus, the Pope said, sees the indelible sign and blessing of the Father in the people who are rejected and repudiated, and this becomes the reason for his compassion that leads people to change their hearts.
Nessun peccato può cancellare quell'immagine che Dio ha dato a noi.
The Pope said, God cannot erase in us the image of a child. Each one of us is son and daughter. This is why miracles happen and God's grace changes lives. The Holy Father pointed out that man and woman respond to this God who blesses by blessing him in return, which he said is done through the prayer of praise, adoration and thanksgiving. I am Robin Gomes.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks goes to our studio team in the Vatican. Thank you for joining us.